this whole series, we want you to know that in God's family, in God's house, his family, his kingdom is one of miracles. And that as you are connected to this house, and this is a house of miracles, we also want you to know that God wants your house, your family, your life to experience miracles. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see the miraculous work of God in my life. Am I alone or am I in good company? I want to see him work in my life. And that's what we're trusting God for. So we're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 41 today. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and here is what it says. On that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boats. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." I'm going to go back up to verse 38. It says, he was in the stern sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" So today, as we continue our series, House of Miracles, I want to preach from this theme and thought. You can get through this. You can get through this. Tell the person beside you, you can get through this. Come on, find somebody else and tell them, you can get through this. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear the word that you have for us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name that as we hear your word, that you would remove distractions and anything that would get in the way of us receiving from you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And every person said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can get through this. Now, family, I don't know if you've ever been in a moment in your life before where you have found yourself in a situation not knowing how you would be able to get through that moment. This might be a little bit too transparent, but I'll spare some of the details. I remember it was a few years ago that it was right before one of our Sunday morning services. And let's just say that my stomach was not having the most best of times, if you will. And this was right before service was starting. And I remember I'm hearing the music going and the worship team is singing. And I'm in the bathroom. 15 minutes have gone by. The worship team has sang the second song. We were in the welcome period. And Pastor is still in the bathroom. And I remember in the bathroom praying and asking God, "God, if you don't do nothing else, I need you to get me through this." And the third song came. And I remember hearing the song, and they're at a part in the song where it's getting ready to wrap up, and I'm still in the back in the bathroom. I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that before where you had to be somewhere. And then all of a sudden, your body starts doing some things. Yeah. The enemy starts to be at work. Bubble guts begin to... But then I remember, as the song was getting ready to come to an end, I'll just say it like this, the Lord intervened. And I was swiftly able to gather myself and get in place to be ready and prepared to preach to you all. Now, that's the stuff that y'all don't even know be happening behind the scenes. Your pastor be going through it and y'all don't even know it. The enemy does everything he can to prevent me to get from where I am to get to this place. But I think all of us have had these moments in our lives where we have wondered, am I going to be able to get through this? I remember one time we were traveling back from Alabama, and at the time, we only had, I think we had our oldest, and he was a baby, and we were traveling back from Alabama around 2013. I remember because we were preparing to get ready to launch the church the following year, and we got to the airport, and the flight was beginning to be changed because there was a massive storm that was coming to the area. And the only flight that we were able to get on was an earlier flight. And if we missed that earlier flight, we would be delayed a whole day and would have to stay overnight. And that was not in the realm of possibility for us. So I remember when this has happened, and our oldest Josiah, he was about 7 months at the time, so he's in a carrier. And I remember when we got that and we switched the flight and we got to an earlier flight, the lady was like, the flight leaves in 30 minutes. We're at the main check-in desk. We have not gone through check-in. We have not gone through the metal detectors. We have not checked in any bags. We have not, you know, gone through the scans. And there's a line. And I remember we're sitting in that line stressed. Have you ever been there before? Where you were in line trying to get ready to catch a flight, and you looking at your watch, and you like, the way that my watch is set up and the way that this line is set up, I don't know if I'm gonna make this. And now you go into thinking about all these different scenarios of what's gonna happen if you don't make the flight, and you're gonna start thinking about how you get delayed here and you get delayed there. And I remember we're in line and we are stressed, and you know, you're trying to gently encourage people to move, you know what I'm saying? It's always when you got somewhere to go that people be moving the slowest in front of you. You ever wonder why that is? It's only when you're in a rush where people move slow. And I remember we're in line and we're stressing and worried and we're frantic. And then all of a sudden, I feel like the Holy Spirit of God said, hey, just calm down. I got this. And if you're like me, sometimes you be talking back to God. Well, I know you got this. I know what you're saying, but I know what I'm seeing. Anybody ever had a moment like that? God, I know what you said. I know you're telling me not to be stressed about this, but what I'm looking at is stress worthy. Long story short, by the grace of God, we were able to get through baggage and we were able to go through check-in and we were able to make it just in time as they were loading and calling our section. But the stress that, hold on, don't shout yet. The stress that we had to go through carrying a seven-month-year-old in a carrier running through the airport, carrying some bags and sweating and filled with anxiety and hyperventilating, y'all. I mean, I wasn't planning on working out that day, but we got a workout, but we made it by the grace of God. I believe that all of us have had some moments in our lives where you have found yourself in some tense moments and difficult moments where you've wondered to yourself, am I going to be able to make it through this? When I think about this, even in context of this series that we're in called Miracles, everybody say miracles. God's miraculous power oftentimes is at work in impossible situations. Moments where we think are not possible. Moments where we think the chips are stacked against us and there's no possibility that this can actually work out. And last week I gave us a definition for miracles that I want to give us again just to give us a good foundation. And here's what I want you to write down, that a miracle is this. It is when God intervenes in our life and his supernatural ability collides with our everyday reality. It is when God intervenes in our life and his supernatural ability collides with our everyday reality. It means something powerful that is done that defies reality. As I said last week, it is something that happens that makes you say, that's, in my translation, ain't supposed to happen. This is not supposed to happen. Which brings us to Mark chapter 4, because here in this story, Jesus is traveling along with his disciples, and he's leaving one area after doing ministry in a previous area, and he's traveling now to this next area to do more ministry, because there's more people that need to be saved, there's more people that need to be healed, there's more people that need to be set free. And he's traveling with his disciples, but as he's traveling with the disciples, the Bible says in verse 37 that all of a sudden there arose a great windstorm, and it came out of nowhere. Now, what's so prevalent about this, y'all, and so out of the ordinary about this, storms in this area were not uncommon. They were very common because the sea, specifically the Sea of Galilee that they were traveling through, was surrounded by mountains and highlands. And storms were known to pop up at random times during the day specifically that were intense in nature. They were strong in nature. The winds were strong in nature. And the winds were so strong that they would typically produce at least 20-foot waves. Now, to help me put that in my own understanding so I can see it in my own mind, I always think about it in terms, when I think about feet, I think about basketball rims. Basketball regulation goal is 10 feet high. So when I look at this, I'm like, okay, that's the size of two 10-foot basketball goals. That's pretty high. It's not the ceiling, but maybe about halfway through. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if I'm in a boat and I'm in some water and 20-foot waves are surrounding me, I don't care how spiritual you are, your boy, your pastor is panicking. Am I alone or am I good company right here? Mind you, they're not on some Carnival Cruise Line. They're not on some battleship. No, no, no. They're on some basic old fisherman boat type boat. And 20-foot waves are surrounding them. So much to the point where the Bible says that the waves begin to overtake the boat, and water now begins to come into the boat. And the reason why this is so crazy, y'all, is because these disciples, if you know anything about scripture, were fishermen by trade. So they're used to being in storms. Storms aren't new to them. They've seen all types of storms. They've seen all sizes of storms. But the Bible specifically says here that a great windstorm has come about. They were overwhelmed in this moment. The boat was overwhelmed in this moment. And it's easy, based upon their experience, to say, well, Pastor, how would they be stressed about the storm when you say that they've been in different storms of all kinds before and they faced storms before? And here's the reason why, family. I want you to get this in your heart and realize this today. Because our past experiences do not always bring comfort in our present circumstances. Just because you went through something before does not guarantee comfort for now. Just because you've been through some difficult moments before does not mean that the moment that you are in right now is the same as it was back then. They've been in storms due to their trade as a fisherman. But this storm is different. This storm is more than likely something they've never seen before. It almost seems as if it has an agenda to it. And for the disciples to be afraid, it shows that this storm was intense, strong, and sudden. I mentioned earlier how in this area, storms would typically only pop up during the day. It's one thing when you go through a storm that you're expecting. It's another thing when you're going through a storm that you didn't see coming at all. They were traveling, what does the Bible say? In the evening. And it was during the evening time when the waters were typically the most calmest, which is why they were more than likely traveling during this time. What they weren't expecting is that a storm that they would see during the day to pop up in the evening. And I think that gives us an indicator of some of the things that you and I face, because sometimes the things that catch us off guard the most and the things that overwhelm us the most are not the things that we see coming. It's the things that we don't see coming. They did not see this storm coming, y'all. They were blindsided by it. They were surprised by it. They were overwhelmed by it. Can I ask you a question today? Have you ever, just by showing hands, if you could be honest, have you ever been blindsided by something where something came into your life and you didn't see it coming? Yes. Come on, online, drop a little hand raised in the chat. If you've ever been in a place where you found yourself going through something that you didn't see coming, it's one thing for me to know something's coming because that means I can prepare for it. It's another thing for me to be in a situation that I didn't know was coming because now I'm surprised by it. I'm overwhelmed by it. And the storm is also at night. And remember, more than likely there's 20-foot waves and the winds are crashing and the waters are crashing, which means more than likely they don't have any line of sight, not just because of the waves and the winds, but also because it's at nighttime. They can't see their way forward. And this storm and this problem and this what appears to be impossible situation is so intense that they don't have the ability to navigate this on their own. And the disciples are so distraught and discouraged that they say these words to Jesus. Jesus in verse 38, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? Don't you care? Don't you care?" I find it interesting because last week in week one of our message series, House of Miracles, we talked about how Jesus can do it, and we talked about how Jesus healed the son of a father. The son was demon-possessed, and the father came to Jesus and said, I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything about it. They couldn't help him. But if you can, have compassion on us. To which Jesus said, if you can. What do you mean, if you can? I find it interesting that last week the conversation was about if he can. But this week the conversation is, do you care? Last week it was about his ability. Now they're questioning his compassion. Do you care about us? Not do you have the capacity to help us, but now do you care about us? And some of you are here today in person and online, and you're in an impossible situation right now where you're in need of some help and you're in need of something to change in your life. And some of you have even thought about this. Maybe you have said it, maybe you haven't said it out loud, but you've said it to yourself and you begin to ask the question, does God care about me? With what I'm going through right now, does he care? Does he care about the fact that I lost my job? Does he care about the fact that I lost a loved one? Does he care about the fact that I'm going through this difficult moment right now? Does he care about the fact that I got a broken heart? Does he care about the fact that I'm struggling with this sin and struggling with this problem and struggling with this stronghold? Does he care about the fact that I'm going through some difficult moments in my career? Does he care about the fact that I'm struggling in this class and struggling as a student? And what this text teaches us, y'all, is that you and I will find ourselves in storms and in moments where we might even question the care of God. We find ourselves in these moments, these impossible situations, and these storms that we didn't see coming, and they kind of bring us to this point sometimes where we ask, does God care? This text shows us that no matter who you are, you and I will find ourselves in some stormy moments. I don't care how long you've been following Jesus. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how well you can speak in tongues. I don't care how many scriptures you know, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. I don't care how long you've been a part of the Bridge Church or how long you've been serving and how long you've been giving. Every single person is going to go through a storm of some sort. Every single person. Everybody say everybody. Everybody's going to go through a storm of some sort. Everybody's going to be in a situation where you look back at the situation and you begin to wrestle with, does God care? Or maybe, can I make it through this? Every single person is going to go through these moments. Matter of fact, Jesus says later on in the book of John that in this life you will have much trouble. In this life you're going to go through many storms. In this life you're going to face impossible situations where you're brought to the end of yourself. But can I help you also understand that storms always serve a purpose? There are some storms that we go through just because it's life and just because it's actually us being obedient, meaning that the enemy will sometimes come against us and oppose us because we are walking and moving in the direction of God. Some of the reason why some people don't like you is not because you're a mean person, it's because you're a faithful person. Some of the reason why some people don't like you is not because you're a mean person, because you're a loving person. Why are you always smiling? Why you always got something positive to say? Right? So some storms happen just simply because we're being faithful and we're doing what God has called us to do. But then there are other storms that we can find ourselves in that are due to our disobedience. In this text, the disciples were being obedient. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. They're like, all right, cool, let's do it. And they find themselves in a storm. But there's other times in Scripture where people find themselves in storms, not because they're being obedient to God, but because they're being disobedient to God. Come here, Jonah. Because Jonah was a prophet of God, somebody who heard from God, somebody who spent time with God, somebody who would receive from God on a regular basis. But God told him one particular time to do something, and Jonah did not want to do it, and he ran the other way. And he found himself in a storm. And specifically, I don't got time to go through this, but if you look at the language all throughout the book of Jonah, especially within the first few chapters, there's language that talks about how Jonah went down to a city called Tarshish. He went down into the boat. And then he went down into the belly of the fish. Because of his disobedience, he found himself going down in everything he did. Can I help you understand? This is not my sermon, so this is for free. I want you to realize that when you and I are disobedient to God, it always leads into a downward spiral. And sometimes we're trying to figure out, God, why is this happening to me? Because you're not obeying me. you're not following what I told you to do. Jonah found himself in the boat, and he was sleeping in the storm in the book of Jonah. He was sleeping, yet he was in sin. He was being disobedient. You know, you got to be in a terrible place where your life is falling apart around you. And watch this, because Jonah's disobedience caused him to be in a storm, he caused other people who were on the boat to be in a storm as well. Because our decisions and our actions don't just impact us, by the way, they impact other people. Your obedience can bless others as it blesses you. Your disobedience can cause burdens for you as it does other people. So there's some storms, y'all, that we walk through because of just simply being obedient. It's our journey of life. But then there's some other storms that we walk through that God didn't necessarily want us to go through, but we've gone through because of our disobedience. And all of us will go through storms. Everybody say storms. And I believe that some of the common storms that we go through, you can take these, write these notes down. We got them in the notes in our app that you can download. But some of the storms that come about are physical storms. All of us face physical storms. Most of us who live in the 757 here in this area over this weekend, Friday and Saturday, there was a physical storm that came through here. Rain came and winds were blowing and all that. But I'm not just talking about physical storms in the form of tropical storms. I'm talking about there's some physical storms that you have happening in your life. It could be something that's going on in your home. It could be something that's going on in your body. It could be something that's going on your job. It could be something that's going on in your class. It could be something that's going on between you and somebody else. You got some of these physical storms. But then we all go through what I like to call emotional storms, where it's not about what's happening around us, but it's about what's happening on the inside of us. Worry and anxiety and anger and frustration and maybe depression, and there's this storm and there's this swirling around that's happening on the inside of our hearts and our soul and in our mind. But then we also deal with what I like to call spiritual storms, which brings us to this place where in our relationship with God, we kind of sometimes have this crisis of faith that caused us to say what the disciples say, God, do you care? And notice here, the disciples experienced essentially all three of these. Physical storm, outside of the boat. Led to an emotional storm, they were afraid. Which has caused a spiritual storm, Jesus, do you even care? That's oftentimes how the enemy wants to work. He works from the outside to get in. But God is often trying to work on the inside to get out. And the storms in life, y'all, that we face are storms of all kinds, which means this, that the person that you're sitting next to might be going through a different storm than you. But it's a good chance that they're walking through a storm or have walked through a storm of some kind. And the disciples here say, don't you care that we're going to die? They're believing that Jesus doesn't care about them because of his apparent lack of concern, and which is interesting because remember, earlier they had seen Jesus prior to this moment do plenty of different miracles. Miracles specifically of compassion. Jesus had compassion on people, which is why he was healing people. But here in this storm, they have forgotten how compassionate he is. Because what storms oftentimes cause you and I to do is to have short-term memory loss. We begin to forget all the things that God has done. And like the disciples, we find ourselves filled with fear, thinking that we won't make it through this. This is what their fear was all about. We don't know if we're going to make it through this great storm that's facing us. Can I just ask us a transparent and honest question? Have you ever found yourself in a life where you believe that you would not make it through? Maybe some of you are there right now. Can I ask you a question? What is the storm that you're facing right now? What is the storm that you're up against right now? I know on the outside you look all put together and you look like you got it going on, but in your life is a tornado right now. Your life is a hurricane right now. Everything that could fall apart has fallen apart. The winds have come in and blown things apart. It's blown relationships apart. It's blown your mind apart. It's caused you to be filled with angst. And there's all these different storms. And maybe you're wrestling with questions. How am I going to make it through this month? And how am I going to make it through this hardship? How am I going to make it through this class? There's friction between me and my friend and my spouse. How am I going to make it through the job loss that I experienced? That's where some of us are right now. But I came to give us some good news, and we see it here in the text today, that in spite of how dark it is, in spite of how unstable it is, in spite of how much the winds are blowing and how unsafe the waters are, the miracle-working Jesus who cared enough about people prior to this moment to heal people is the same miracle-working Jesus who is here in this moment with them. The good news for us today is that the same Jesus that did miracles before this moment is the same Jesus who can do miracles in this moment. And I want to let you know that the same Jesus that has been faithful before, he will be faithful now. The same Jesus that provided before will provide now. The same Jesus who gave peace before will give peace now. If he was able to do it back then, he is also still able to do it now. Thank God that though this storm and the situation may be different, our Savior is still the same. I'm here to let you know that no matter how different your storm looks, we talked a little bit about it last week, that no matter what your situation looks like, it might be different, but Jesus is still the same. He has not changed. Though the situation has changed, he is still the same. Can I give you this word of caution and encouragement? Do not allow your struggle in your present to forget the faithfulness of God. If he was good then, he'll be good now. And thank God that no matter the season, no matter the storm, no matter the struggle, we have a God and a Savior named Jesus Christ who remains the same. And when we go through the storms, and though the storms might be changing, and though the winds might be changing, and though the waters might be changing, and though people around us might be changing, Jesus is still the same, and he has not changed, and he is not going to change. He's still who he is. And I want to let you know this, family, that when you go through difficult moments in your life, when you go through storms, just like most boats have what's called an anchor, you and I need an anchor for the storms of our soul. You need an anchor. You need something that's going to hold you down. And I love how the Bible talks about this in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, what the writer of Hebrews actually says is something that can help us. It says that we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What is Jesus? What is the writer talking about? The writer is helping us to see that the anchor, that the hope that we have has a name, and the name of that anchor is Jesus. Our hope is not in situations getting better. Our hope is in the one who controls the situation and can make it better. I got an anchor, and his name is Jesus. Our hope is in Jesus, the miracle-working God who anchors our souls in turbulent times. And I want to encourage y'all with this, because if there's one thing that the disciples did get right, they got a lot of things wrong here, just like we do and when we go through storms. But the one thing that they got right here was when the storm came up, they had enough sense to call on Jesus. Now, they may have been tripping a little bit with what they said to Jesus, but they at least had enough sense to say, "Teacher." I want to know, do you have enough sense when you're going through storms to not call just on your friends and to call on your coworkers, but to call on the one who actually can do something about the problem that you're going through? When you're going through problems, you don't need to call on TikTok. You don't need to call on Instagram. You don't need to call on friends. No, when you're going through an impossible situation, you need to put that phone to your ear, call prayer, and call on his name, and his name is Jesus. Matter of fact, as you go through some storms this week, this is your posture. This is what you need to do, just like this. When you walk in your job tomorrow and you got this thing up to your ear like this and people are looking at you like, "What is wrong with you?" Don't worry about it. I'm talking to Jesus, because I need Jesus to help me from going crazy right now. I need Jesus to help me from losing my mind right now. I need Jesus to help me from not panicking right now. I'm calling on him. That's what the disciples actually teach us here. We can learn a lot from their mistakes, but we can all learn a lot from few things that they did right. When you go through storms, who do you call on? Who are you calling on? What are you turning? Are you turning to Google or are you turning to God? Are you turning to a coworker or are you turning to Christ? Not that there's anything wrong with having conversations with people, we should. That's why I believe that life is all about us doing relationships with people. But at the end of the day, there is only one person who can do something about an impossible situation. And when you are in need of a miracle, people cannot do that for you. Only God can. I need him. The best thing you and I can do when we go through is call on Jesus. And this text gives us hope when we find ourselves in need of a miracle to get through the hardships and the storms of life. It gives us hope. And I want to give us these three thoughts here that we see here in this interaction with Jesus and the disciples to encourage us, to let us know that whatever you're going through, you can get through this. Can you tell the person that you're sitting next to, you can get through this? You might not even know who they are. You might not even know the problems that they're going through. But here's what we know. They can get through this. You can get through this. Some of you came in here today, and you came in here discouraged, and you came in here wondering what's going to happen this week and what's going to happen in my life this week. Some of you are watching right now, and you're watching online. Come on, get a good, nice Zoom shot right now. I'm talking to some of you right now, and you're watching right now, and you were trying to figure out how I'm going to make it through this. I'm here to let you know you can get through this. That's the word for some of you this week, because what the enemy's been telling you is you're going to die right here. It's over right here. But I'm here to let you know that the devil is a liar, because if it was over, you wouldn't have made it to where you are right now. But the mere fact that you are here right now with breath in your body, the mere fact that you have been able to still look at this situation as evidence in the fact that God still has a plan. You can get through this. Somebody say you can get through this. Matter of fact, come on, make it prophetic and personal. Say, I can get through this. That's the word that some of us need to get in our hearts. And I had you say I, because what some of you have been saying is I'm not going to be able to. I'm not going to get through this. I'm this. I'm that. Would you stop? Can I say this respectfully? Would you stop assigning labels to your life that God did not put there? Would you stop speaking over yourself from a place of scarcity and begin to speak from a place of abundance? That's why Jesus says in John 10 and 10, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. When you begin to say things like, I'm not going to make it through this, that's a scarcity and a lack of faith mentality. But when you begin to declare over your life, it doesn't matter how bad things look, it doesn't matter how ugly things look, I'm going to make it through this, that's an abundant mentality. That's a faithful mentality. How can we have this confidence? How can we say this? Number one is this, because his presence is with me. How can we have assurance that we can make it through whatever it is that we're going through? Because his presence, someone say his presence. His presence that is with us. Look at verses 36 through 38. I want y'all to see the disciples in Jesus. It says, so they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up. Said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? I want you to notice the text. It says, they took him along since he was in the boat. Who is he? Jesus. He was in the boat. And then notice what verse 38 says. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So here's the scene. The storm rises. They're panicking. Jesus is sleeping. And now as he's sleeping in the stern, which if you know anything about boats, it's the back of the boat. But in this moment, y'all, they have forgotten in this moment of the fact that they have Jesus. The same Jesus that they just saw do miracles earlier in previous accounts prior to this moment. The same Jesus that healed people. The same Jesus that forgave people of their sins. The same Jesus that opened up blinded eyes. The same Jesus that fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. That same Jesus is in the boat with them. They've forgotten that they have the presence of God himself in this present storm that they are in. Why is this important for us to recognize? Because oftentimes when we find ourselves in difficult moments, the enemy comes in to let us know and to tell this lie to us that we are alone. The enemy comes in speaking real loud. He'll say things like this: if God was with you, he wouldn't allow this to happen to you. Come on, am I down on your street yet? Some of y'all have thought that lie and have heard that lie. enemy will say things like this: if God really loved you, then why would he allow you to go through this? This is you getting what you deserve for all the mean things and crazy things that you did. This is God getting you back. Let me help you understand something. The way God got you back was by getting Jesus on the cross, dying for your sins. It's already been taken care of. It's been covered. Your sins, past, present, and future, have already been covered on the cross. The enemy wants us to believe that when we go through moments like this, it means that we're alone. But I want to let you know something. I like what Pastor Craig Rochelle says. He says, never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Sometimes what the enemy will do is he'll use these storms that come in our life to cause us to discount and to dismiss the fact that God is actually with us. Can I give you this word of encouragement? That peace, y'all, is not found in the absence of storms. Peace is found in the presence of God. Many of us think God is present when things are going well. I'm here to let you know God is present when things are falling apart. I'm here to let you know that God isn't just with you on the mountaintop. You know, one of the things that always happens in sports when people start winning and stuff like that, they always like to conveniently give props to God. And one of the things I always wrestle with is, can you still give him props when you lose? Right? We'll say God is good when all good things are happening, but can you still say God is good when bad things are? Because God's nature and him being good is not predicated based upon situations being good. He's good because he's God. This is who he is. And his presence is with me during the sunny. Watch this, y'all. Jesus was with them when it was sunny and peaceful. And Jesus is also with them when it's stormy and unstable. His presence, it ain't like Jesus got the storm. I'm out of here, fam. Y'all on your own. Jesus is on the boat and he's sleeping. And it speaks so much of what the Bible talks about in Psalm 23. I want you to see this verse in verse 4 of Psalm 23. That even though I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. I'm here to let you know, family, you and I are going to walk through some dark valley moments in our life. You and I are going to walk through some impossible situations in life. You and I are going to hear some news that's going to absolutely rock us to the core. You and I are going to walk through some difficult things. But the thing that God gives us hope in is even though we walk through, we don't live in, we walk through. And even though we go through the darkest valley, we don't have to fear. Why? Because he is with me. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm here to let you know you're going through some problems right now. You're going through some storms right now. You need God to show up and you need God to do the miraculous in your life. I'm here to let you know that miracles always start with his presence. And his presence is with you. Someone say, God's with me. Well before Kanye West came up with that song, Jesus walks with me, Jesus has always been walking with you. Always. He has not gone anywhere. And I want us to understand that Jesus never said he would keep us from storms, but he's always promised to be with us in storms. He never said that we would never go through storms, but what he has always said is he will be with us in them. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Some of y'all are walking through some dark moments right now. It's ugly. It's uncomfortable. It's unbearable. You've been losing sleep about it. You've been stressed about it. You've been worried about it. But I'm here to let you know Jesus is with you in it. He hasn't left you. He's alongside of you. I remember when we walked through a painful moment early on in our marriage in the form of a miscarriage. And I remember less than 3 months of us being married, we were pregnant and we were excited about it. And then pain started to come about with Ariel. And we went to the doctors and the doctors were saying that a miscarriage was happening. And I remember us being in that hospital at Riverside Medical Center, and I remember just being in there, and I remember just all these emotions that were just flooding us, and I remember being off to the side, and I'm watching them put needles in her arms, and I remember just feeling like it felt like it was ripping a hole in my heart. But do you know what got us through that painful moment? It was God speaking to us in the moment and saying, even though it is a painful moment, I am with you in this moment. The reason why we didn't lose our minds and be discouraged to the point where it took us out was because we came back to the reminder that God is with us even in this painful moments. And I'm here to let some of you all know today who are walking through some painful moments and impossible moments where you need a miracle. I'm here to let you know that it may be painful, but he is with you. It may be unexpected, but he is with you. It may be a setback, but he is with you. It may be a loss, but he is with you. You can get through this. Why? Because he's with you. I love what the psalm writer says in Psalm 23. I had this revelation when I was in the bathroom, because you know sometimes when you're in the bathroom, when you're sitting still before the Lord, you know, you're brushing your teeth, you're brushing your hair, be still and God gives revelation. I remember I was thinking about Psalm 23 and God spoke to me in this moment, and he says, how you say that through determines how you move in that moment. What do you mean by that? Because when I think about that verse, though I walk through, I can say it in a defeated posture. I'm going through this. I'm walking through this. I'm walking through the loss. I'm going through this grief. Or you can flip it and put a different tone to it. That instead of saying, I'm going through this, it's I'm going through this. I'm going through this. As if I'm running through this wall. And there's nothing that the enemy can do to stop me from going through this. Why? Because God is with me. I'm here to let you know that you're not just going through this. No, you're going through this. You're going to be who God has called you to be, and you're going to walk in what God has called you to walk in. Why? Because he's with you. His presence is with you. You can make it through this. You can get through this. Why? Because his presence is with you, but not just because his presence is with you, but also because his power that is for you. You don't just have access to his presence, you got access to his power. I want you to notice what the scripture says in verse 38. It says, after they woke him up, don't you care that we're going to die? Verse 39, he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still. And then the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? It's almost as if Jesus is saying, y'all have seen me do stuff like this before. Do y'all still not believe? How much more do I gotta do to show y'all that I'm who I am? How much more do I got to do for y'all to trust me? Ain't it interesting that they trusted more in the power of the storm than in the power of Christ? Ain't that what we do though? You trust more in what's happening to you than the God who's for you. How do I know that? Because the thing that you spend the most time worrying about is where you placed your faith. But if I really place my faith and I'm really trusting Jesus, no matter what's happening around me, I know that his power is for me. So even though things are uncontrollable on the outside, I know the one who is able to control everything on the outside. His power. And it's interesting, y'all, because the disciples say, don't you care about us? Don't you care? We're going to die. They had already given a prognosis for their situation. We're going to die. We're not going to make this. And the Bible says they woke Jesus up because he's sleeping in the back of the boat. He's on the stern. He's chilling. He's knocked out. And more than likely, y'all, I want you to go, come on, I want you to put your lens on, put your thinking cap on. When it comes to church, we don't check our brains at the door. No, we engage. How, Jesus, can you sleep through a hurricane-type storm blowing outside? This is not a battleship. This is a basic fishing type of boat. The winds are blowing. The water is all up in the boat. 20-foot waves on the outside. Jesus knocked out in the back. He's sleeping good, y'all. I'm talking about, you know that good sleep when you really knocked out and you got like the drool coming down your mouth and it dry up on your mouth, and y'all looking at me like y'all real saved and spiritual. That's exactly, y'all know what I'm talking about. Or let me say it like this. If you ain't had that type of sleep, you ain't slept yet. That's some of y'all probably, y'all ain't got that type of sleep yet. You ain't got no peace yet. Jesus was in some kind of crazy deep sleep to sleep through that type of a storm. And imagine this. The disciples are coming to him. Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die? And can you imagine the conversation? The Bible doesn't give us all this full-blown details of everything that was probably said except the main things that were said. I wonder if Jesus was in this and like, what y'all tripping about, man? Like, what you wake me up for? And then I wonder as he's, you know, he gets to the boat and he's in the back of the boat and I wonder if he's out here and he said, hey, y'all chill out. Waves, wind, y'all chill out. I wonder if he's wiping eye boogers out his eye and y'all chill out now. All that noise out there, calm down. I wonder, y'all woke me up for this? You really? But when you know that you have power over all things, you sleep easy. Can I help you and encourage you? When you know the one who has power over all things, you are able to rest easy in your storm. Some of us, the reason why we haven't had a good night of sleep in months and maybe even in years is because you are spending more time contemplating the power of the storm than the power of Christ. And it's been robbing you of joy. That's why some of us, you don't even smile at all. It's been robbing you of joy because you got so many things on your mind other than the power and the presence of Christ. But when you begin to remember that you got the one who has unlimited power, here's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, in the book of Psalms, I love it because it says it like this in Psalm 95. It says this, the sea is his. The waters belong to him, y'all. The water, he made this. It belongs to him. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. In other words, it's almost like Jesus is like, why am I going to sit up here and lose my mind over something that I got dominion over? Why am I going to go crazy over this? This does not affect me in any way. Y'all, when I was watching the Colorado Buffaloes get blown out yesterday, I went to sleep. Kids kept coming in there, waking me up, Daddy, do you see the score? I don't care what the score is. I got this good sleep. Oh my gosh, how can you be sleeping when this doesn't even know all this is happening? Because what's happening there has no impact on what's happening here. Can I help you understand something? That is exactly what Jesus wants you and I to recognize, that what's happening around you does not impact the power that he has. It might be out of control for you, but it is not out of control for him. It might seem impossible for you, but this is easy work to him. I almost thought about calling this sermon easy work. Because when Jesus got to the storm, all he said was, silence, be still. And then immediately the winds died down and the waters settled down. Easy work. In a matter of two words, a few words, everything calms down. Can I help you understand something? It does not take much for Jesus to do something about the storm and the problem that you and I find ourselves in. This is easy work for him. This is why last week he said it like this. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And everything is possible to those who believe. So the question is not, does he care? The question is, do you believe? Can I trust him? Can I trust his power? And can I say it like this? If Jesus isn't worried about my storm, then why should I? If he ain't worried about the problem, why should I? If he ain't losing no sleep over this, why should I? And sometimes the storm, here's what I've recognized, the storm that Jesus needs to calm the most is not the one that's happening around us. It's the one that's happening on the inside of us. He needs to calm the storm that's happening in our minds, these thoughts that we're thinking, these feelings that we're feeling. He needs to calm the anxiety, and he needs to cause the stress, and he needs to calm the worry. Many times we're asking him, God, would you do something about everything that's happening around me? And God's like, I can do all of that, but there's something greater I need to do in you. I need to calm the storm that's in you. And I want you to know this, family, that you can stay calm in the storm when you know the one who has power over the storm. Do y'all know that some of the best sleep you can actually get is during a storm? It's when it's raining outside. Sometimes when I hear it raining and I see it's raining outside, I just go open the window and lay on the couch and just look at it and go to sleep. I wonder if Jesus is inviting us into a place of rest in the midst of our problems, where we trust in him, where we don't resort to panicking. We simply resort to praying and depending. And I'm not trying to make light of whatever it is that you're facing right now. What I'm trying to help you understand is that no matter what it is that you're facing right now, he has power and dominion over it. And he can do something about it, which leads to this next point that I want to give you, that it's not just his power that is for you, but it's also his promise that is over you. I want you to look at this verse, because the disciples thought they were going to die. But y'all, they forgot something that Jesus said. If you go back to verse 35, notice what the Bible says. On that day, when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." And after he calmed the sea, he said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And in this moment, the disciples themselves are dumbfounded, because they've never seen anything like this, even though Jesus has given them evidence to believe. Jesus calms the storm, and now notice what they say in verse 41. They were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." In other words, let me put it in the Pastor Edwin translation. Who man is this? Where is he from? Who does what he's doing? He's different. Something's unique about him. But he's speaking to something that's reflective of the nature of God. That God is not just a promise maker, but he is also a promise keeper. And in Psalm 91, it says this: "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say concerning the Lord, who is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, he himself," watch this, "will rescue you from the bird trap, from the destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield." His faithfulness, I'm going to say faithfulness. Faithfulness meaning that if God has been faithful before, he will continue to be faithful now. If God did it before, he can still do it now. It means that God is trustworthy. It means that he is dependable. And God never promised us a life free of difficulties. No, he promised us that he will be with us through them. Paul says it like this, though. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, he says this: "Indeed, we had felt we had received the sentence of death, so that way we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." Paul's saying, we thought we were going to die on our missionary journey. We thought it was over for us. We were facing death, and we were, in our minds, as good as dead. But then he said, "But God delivered us from such a terrible death," verse 10, "and he will deliver us." You got to have another level of faith where you can look at your storms in the face and say, even though it looks bad, God will deliver me from this. He says this: "We have put our hope in him that he will deliver us." Watch this again. Somebody say again. Again, meaning if he did it before, why do we not think he will do it again? I know your situation may look different than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego may have looked. You might not have gone through a literal fiery furnace, but some of you are in a figurative and metaphorical fiery furnace in your life. And I'm here to let you know that the same God that was with those three boys in that fiery furnace in the book of Daniel chapter 3 is also with you now in your storm. He hasn't promised to keep us from storms. He's promised to always be available to us to get us through storms. And God, through his word, he gives all these promises and he gives these assurances that he is with us and that his power is available to us. But I want you to see something powerful here, y'all. Jesus spoke this word in verse 35, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." He spoke that to them when it was still pleasant. But they forgot that when it became painful. Can I give you a word of wisdom and encouragement? You and I have to get to a place where we learn to trust in the dark what God once spoke in the light. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you got it. We have to learn to trust in the dark what God spoke to us in the light. What do you mean by that, Pastor Edwin? I have to learn to trust his word that he spoke to me and that I learned before the storm came, so that now when the storm comes, I don't forget what he said to me. I have to trust that he can still work things out. And how here does Jesus fulfill His promise. How does he fulfill this word that he spoke in verse 35? I want you to go down to verse 1 of chapter 5. Watch what the Bible says. They came to the other side. Y'all missed it. Verse 35 of Mark 4. Let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, and they came to the other side of the sea. What's the promise here? Jesus made a promise in verse 35. But before the storm came, that they were going to cross over to the other side of the sea. What he did not tell them was the storm that they were going to have to go through to get to the other side of the sea. But just because he did not tell them about the storm that they were getting ready to encounter, it does not disqualify what he's already said will come to pass. I'm here to let you know today that what God has spoken, he will bring to fruition. What God has promised, he will fulfill. What God has said, he will do. And I want to encourage some of you who are here today and you're wondering if you can make it to the other side. I don't know what the other side of your life is right now, but I'm here to let you know that you can. Not because of your might, not because of your power, not because of your wisdom, but because of his. There's purpose on the other side of the pain that you're experiencing right now. There's a life on the other side of this hardship that you're experiencing right now. There is joy on the other side of this sorrow. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy does truly come in the morning time. There's a future on the other side of this setback. Jesus is faithful to fulfill his promise, and his promises are always just an amen in him. He keeps his word. If he said it, he's going to produce it. Now, his was crazy. He knew about the storm that they were going to go through. Why? Because Jesus is God incarnate. He is all-knowing. He knew about the storm, but he also knew what he was going to do about the storm. The disciples didn't know, but he knew, which helps us to realize some things about Jesus. There are some things about God that he is not going to tell us about what we're going to go through. But we have to be willing to trust his power, his presence, and his promise no matter what we go through. That he will bring us safely to the other side. I want to close with this. There was a pastor friend of mine who shared with me about a year or so ago. There was a lady in his church who had received news that she had a terminal disease and there was nothing that the doctors could do. And day by day, her conditions literally worsened by the day. To the point where they told her, the only thing we can do is help make your transition comfortable. The church was praying, they were praying for healing. The healing never came. They were praying for God to intervene because we should. But it never came. And there was much sorrow that was there, that was present. But this lady has so much joy in the midst of her pain. And there was questions that were asked to her, how do you have so much pain in the midst of, how much joy you have in the midst of this pain? And the last thing that she said on her deathbed was, it's because I have peace and I'm ready to see Jesus. How is that Jesus being faithful to his promise? Because do you know what he said in the book of Isaiah before he would actually come? That he keeps minds in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on him. And how the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For her, the other side was not that she would be healed in this life. For her, the other side was that she would be healed in the next life. And she had enough peace to trust Jesus. This is my time to now be with you forever. And I got peace in knowing that you are with me. I got peace in knowing that your power and presence are with me. I got peace in knowing that you have not left me, nor have you forsaken me. And the people, my pastor friend would tell me, that her funeral celebration was one of the most beautiful celebrations, not of death, but of life. Because of where her hope was, that in the midst of this storm called sickness, her joy was not based upon her healing. Her joy was based upon her hope and the one who is hope, and his name was Jesus Christ. And I'm here to let some of us know today that no matter what it is that you're walking through, that he is still the miracle working God. And the miracle in this story, church family, is that Jesus intervenes in the midst of this storm, thus saving their lives, bringing them safely to the other side. And then making it through this storm was a miracle. Why? Because they could have easily and should have easily died, but they didn't. It is Jesus showing his miraculous power and control over nature, where he caused the winds to slow down and to cease and the waters to cease. But I'm here to let you know, as we're all standing to our feet, that this story, church family, this is not what this story was all about alone. That the miracle that Jesus performs here is actually a greater picture of what he came to do for us through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because in this story, the disciples were on their way to their destruction, but then Jesus intervened. I'm here to let us know that all of us were on our way to destruction because of our sin. We were on our way to a Christless eternity. Our lives were on our way to eternal darkness. But then Jesus stepped in to intervene and to rescue us, which is why the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, he saved us from our sin. He resurrected us when we came to faith in him because of his intervention, because of his miracle working love, because of his miracle working salvation. Jesus saved us from our sin. He saved us from the storm of darkness. He saved us from the storm of being separated from him. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the fact today that Jesus stepped in the midst of my storms. And just as Jesus rescued the disciples from their storm, he came to rescue us from our sin. But I want to give you this good news, that if he's strong enough to save us from our sin, he's also strong enough to save you from your storm. If his resurrection power was good enough to free you from your sin and to give you a new life in him, that means his resurrection power is more than enough to perform whatever miracle that you are in need of in your life. Whatever door that needs to be opened, he's able to open it. Whatever door needs to be closed, he's able to close it. Whatever breakthrough he needs to bring forth is able to be brought forth. Why? Because of who he is, because of his power. Last week, the Father of the Son asked, if you can. This week, the disciples asked, do you care? And Jesus performed miraculous things in both situations. But the question that Jesus is asking you today, you may have came here with a question, does he care? But he's asking you the question today, will you believe? Will you believe that he's able to do the very thing that you need him to do? And I'm looking at some of us in here, and today you came here with no faith. No faith that things could get better. No faith that things could change. But I'm here to let you know that you got a God and his name is Jesus. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask, think, or imagine. I'm here to let you know that he is the God who does impossible things. Impossible works is what he does. He majors in blowing our minds. He majors in doing the unthinkable. I'm here to let you know that whatever you're going through, you can get through this. I don't care how heavy it is, you can get through this. No matter how dark it is, you can get through this. No matter how ugly it is, you can get through this. Because of who's with you. Because of who's fighting for you. And because of the promise that he's made over you with heads bowed and eyes closed. Some of you are here today and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never given him your life. You've never received him as Lord. You've never believed in him. I want to let you know this, that today is the day where you can say yes and receive him as Lord, where you can trust in him, where you can believe in him. If today is the day and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to trust in Jesus. I want to give him my life. I want to put my faith in him. I want to receive his love. I want to be a part of his family. If this is you, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me.